All right. Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see everyone here this morning. I'm going to do what all of you don't want me to do, and I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I know how many of you, show of hands, know somebody who needs a touch from Jesus, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, financial. Okay. So we all pretty much know somebody that needs a touch from God. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to pray for all of them. You know, the song that we just ended with, He's in the Waiting. It is so important for us in the midst of our waiting for our victory that we praise the Lord. Because we'll never get the opportunity to praise him in that place again. Once we get to the victory, we don't get to go back to the pain and praise him in the midst of that pain. Right? So here's what we're going to do this morning. I want you to think of that person we're going to pray. And if you're that person, start praising God in the midst of what you're going through. You know, Chris has been in the hospital, and praise the Lord, he is doing so well. He is going to make a full recovery. And that's God. But you know what? God's been with him in the waiting. How many people want to wait in the hospital for 3 weeks? Nobody. Nobody wants to do that, right? But there's so much that God can do in the waiting that he can't do when you're done waiting. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we just thank you so much for all that you're doing in every single one of our lives. God, we thank you that you're in the waiting with us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done in Chris. We thank you for what you've done in the lives of our loved ones, God, that we've been praying for. Lord, we give you the honor and we give you the praise, God, even though we haven't seen it yet. God, we believe that you will do it. You will do it in your timing, and we trust you because you are trustworthy. You gave up your son for us, so how could we not trust you? Lord, help us in the waiting to praise you. Help us in the waiting to trust you and not to rush you. Lord, we love you. This morning is for you. Our lives are for you. There's no point if you're not with us. So, Lord, may you be glorified this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So, this is not part of my message, but the verse of the day this morning says, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." Proverbs 17:9. When I saw that, I thought, I have to share that because, man, if we could live lives where we cover offenses of other people instead of continuing to regurgitate them all the time and remind people of what they've done, oh, our world would look so different. And you know what? The world looking different starts with you looking different. Don't be defined by what you see other people doing. Be defined by the word of God. Go there daily. Wait there daily. I've been, over the past few months, the Lord has really brought it to my attention that I'm a very fast-paced person, okay? I love to do things very quickly and efficiently and just to keep going, right? But it is so important that we make time every single day to be with the Lord. Well, I don't know what that looks like. Find a worship song. Turn off the lights. Turn off your phone. Well, put it on Do Not Disturb so you can listen to the worship song. And then just wait. Or, you know, turn on the audio Bible. We don't even have to read the Bible anymore. It can be read to us. How convenient is that, right? But it's so important that we take the time to slow down. If we would live that kind of life, I promise you'll see the transformation that you want to see in your life, if you'll do that. And when the Lord showed me that, I've absolutely done it. I turn off my phone. Nobody can get a hold of me. And I just wait on him. It's life-changing. But here's the thing. Your life is not dependent on me doing that. Your life is not dependent on Pastor Corey or Pastor Rochelle doing that or Pastor Colin or Tiff. It's not dependent on that. It's dependent on you doing it. Because if we do it for you, it's not for you. Yes, we can be encouragement to each other, but we have got to take on our own responsibility for our own relationship with God. Because it's you and Jesus at the end of the day. And that's it. It's not you, Jesus, and your favorite pastor that has given you all of the information that has made you who you are. Because guess what? It's not about them either. It's about Jesus. And we have got to get back to the place in this world where it's about Jesus. It's not about a person other than him. That's it. So this morning, I've got this up here. And my favorite topic is love. I love love. And it's not the love is love that we hear in our society today. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the love that consistently changes over time to fit whatever we want it to fit, whatever's convenient for us. I'm talking about the love of God, the kind of love that makes you lay down your life for somebody. That is the love that changes the world. Not the love is love, we accept everyone and we accept everything and you can do whatever you want, whatever pleases you, whatever feels good, and it's just constantly changing. Has anybody in here ever kicked a field goal? We have no, oh, that's good. Good for you guys. I've never done it, but I've seen them kicked, right? But here's what's happening in our society today. Everybody's trying to kick field goals, and the poles are moving. They're constantly changing. And you can't kick a field goal consistently through poles that are constantly moving back and forth like this. It just doesn't work. So today I'm going to start with a foundational scripture, and it's one that I have often referred back to when I've been up here, and it comes from John 16:13. It says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." He will guide you into all the truth. Can you repeat? All the truth. All the truth. Okay, we're going to watch a clip, and then I'm going to come back to that, but you've got to remember that scripture.
It's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi, you can't know his disease. You can't.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I am willing. Be cleansed.
Oh, Thank you. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. What can I ever do? No.
Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor.
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go. Show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you, just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Okay, if you haven't seen The Chosen yet, you need to watch it. It makes me sad when I see things like that, because I look at our world and I see how broken everyone is. And there's just not too many people that will approach the broken people. And, you know, since the beginning of the pandemic, it's only gotten worse. It was already a problem before. Jesus says in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I want to ask us all a question. Does the world look at us and know that we follow Jesus by the love that we have for each other? You know, why, I've heard this said many times recently, why would the world want what we have if we're just as scared as they are? If we're walking around in fear, if we're huddled in a corner in fear, why would the world want what we have? Because I'll tell you this, where there is love, there can't be fear. There can't be. And I believe that every decision that we make can be tied back to love or to fear. So here is love and here is fear. And I had all of these things written out before of what fear is, but then I decided they could all be summed up in one word, and that's selfish. Fear only looks out for itself. Love looks out for others. And love is not always convenient. So our instruction is to love. That's what we're called to do. Now, I want you to go back to our foundational scripture. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Why do I go back to the scripture? Well, because there's a lot of times that we say that we won't do something because it's wisdom not to do so. But a lot of times, fear masquerades as wisdom. And so that's the deal. we're not going to, there's not going to be anybody in the world. There's not going to be anybody in the world that's ever going to have all the answers. But the thing is, we've got the Spirit of Truth who guides us into all truth. And every single one of us needs that. Every single one of us. It can't just be one person. We can't just look to one person to say, okay, am I supposed to do this? No, you've got that person with you. He's inside of you. When you accepted Jesus, that's what he gave you. The Holy Spirit is a deposit inside of you that guides you into all truth. How many times have you seen somebody and you're like, oh, I really want to help this person, but you don't do it? Why? Because you're afraid of what they will think of you. You're afraid of what the people that you're with will think of you, because society has just bombarded us with fear. It's shoving fear down our throats. Because, you know, we see people, like we've seen news stories of, you know, people trying to help people and then it not ending well for them. You know, like, I don't want to do that because if I do that, maybe, like, okay, I'm going to give you an example. If I see somebody at the grocery store that's struggling to get all of their groceries in their car, right? I'm like, oh, I want to go help that person. But many times I don't, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that they'll reject me. I'm afraid that they'll get mad at me, because that has happened before. Have you ever asked somebody if they need help and they're so prideful that they tell you, no, go away from me? Had a neighbor recently, it's like, I heard this story from my other neighbor. They asked to, you know, oh, can I help you take those boxes inside? Because it was one person trying to take a whole bunch of boxes inside. And turned around and said, did I ask for your help? So if you have an experience like that, how likely are you going to be to ask somebody else, you know, down the street if they want help? But that's the thing, is we cannot let those things define us. We have to be led by the love that Christ has put in us. And we have to constantly connect ourselves back to that. The only thing that we can control is how we act and how we respond. We don't control how other people respond to our actions. But if we act in love, it always wins in the end. Because guess what? You give account for your life. That's it. You give an account for your life. How did you treat other people? How did you love? Not how did they react to your love. How did you love? We don't know how people are going to react, but we've got to stop letting that be the crippling factor that keeps us from loving people. You know, for the disciples right there in that clip, Jesus was walking into a death sentence. Because lepers, in that time, they were outcasts. You got leprosy, that's it. You don't matter anymore. You're just going to go somewhere and you're going to wait to die. Can't be around anybody. Does that sound familiar? You know, the term that got very popular whenever the pandemic happened was social distancing. How can we distance ourselves from other people? And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to separate us. He wants to separate the body of Christ. And I would say he's done a pretty good job of it, especially over the past couple years. You know, it's not, is COVID real? The question is God bigger than COVID? Is God bigger than cancer? You know, I think we get wrapped up in this ideology that this world is the end game, and it's not. This world is, like, not even that big in comparison to eternity. Our life in this world, it's a vapor, the Bible says. It's a vapor. Also, in the book of John, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Okay, we've read that scripture. If you've been in church for a long time, you've probably read that scripture lots of times. You've heard it preached on, but how many of us really believe it? Again, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Guess what? There's no greater love than to lay down your life. And laying down your life means that you lay down the fear that's associated with losing your life or losing anything. Okay, I'm sorry that this is not a feel-good message. I didn't know that it wasn't going to be. But it's so important. It's so important. The commandment is not to love when you feel safe. It's to love, period. So I can't remember what month it is because everything just goes all jumbled together, but a few months ago I had just gotten done running on the treadmill, and I went to sit down, and my legs were feeling worse than they normally do. I was like, because normally my legs won't hurt after I get off the treadmill because I do it every day. Well, my legs were hurting. I mean, they were just like aching. And so I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, all of my energy just left, and I felt sick. I felt sick. And so I went, and I sat on the couch, and I just continued to feel sick, and my fever had spiked. And you know what my first thoughts were? I have COVID, right? Because that's what we all think. But here's the deal. In that moment, all I was thinking about was who I didn't need to be around or who wouldn't need to be around me. And I felt so isolated. How many people have we done that to? You know, it was a joke whenever the pandemic, I guess, first started. It's like if you heard somebody sneeze, you get away, right? How does that really make us feel inside if we're doing that to other people? Again, this is not me saying that COVID isn't real. I know that it is. But is God bigger than COVID? Fear divides, love unites us. I'm not talking about the fake love is love that I said earlier. I'm talking about the laying down your life love. The love that covers a multitude of sin. The love that looks past political affiliation, denominational affiliation, vaccine stance, whether you agree with wearing masks or not. And the list goes on. Our society has masked fear with love, or masked love with fear, however you want to say it. See, it's so confusing, we can't even get it right. But that's what makes us dependent on Holy Spirit. Everyday people walk around allowing fear to keep them from loving people because they're afraid of stepping on a landmine and offending someone. You can barely have a conversation with somebody without somebody getting offended at what you have to say. It's the offensive agenda of the ages. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to divide us. He wants you to get offended with somebody so that you'll never talk to them again. He wants you to get offended with me up here talking about all this so that you'll never go to church again. The enemy wants to make the body of Christ live in fear, because when you can make someone afraid or confused, you can control them. Love sets us free. Christ set us free with the ultimate sacrifice of love. But he will not make us walk in that freedom. He offers it, but he won't force it on us. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." You have to stand firm in your freedom. You have the responsibility to do that. You accept the gift, now steward it. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't submit to fear. You know, some of us are so concerned about the things that maybe, you know, the Lord's revealed to us, or that we want to say. We know the truth maybe on a matter, but we're afraid to say it. Why? Because we're afraid that the person hearing is not going to be okay with it and they're not going to like us. Again, that goes back to selfishness, right? Because you're afraid of what? Somebody not liking you. Guess what? There's going to be a whole lot of people in this world that don't like you. You know, if you've ever known somebody that tries to please everyone, how exhausting that is. If you've ever been the people pleaser, I'm very guilty of it. It's exhausting. We have to learn to live to please the one. And the one is inside of us and leads us into all truth, so that we know when it's wise to step into a situation, when it's wise to stay away from people because we don't want to get them sick, right? But let whatever you do be done in love. You know, I heard a pastor say a while back, and I really liked it, because, you know, the church seems to be super divided over the whole vaccine issue, or the world actually seems to be pretty divided over the whole vaccine issue. Whatever you do, do it in faith. If you get the vaccine, get it in faith. If you don't get the vaccine, do that in faith. But don't let fear be the thing that motivates you. If you let fear motivate you, you will live a very empty and exhausting life. But if you let love motivate you, you can lay down at the end of every day and say, "You know what, God, I did it all for you. I don't have one person in the world that likes me, but I did it all for you." Our instruction is to love. My second point today is our fight is not physical. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Our fight is not physical, but we think it is. We think it's about the Democrats fighting against the Republicans, the people that believe in COVID and the people that don't. It has nothing to do with what we see physically. It's all in the spirit realm. There's this huge war happening in the spirit realm. And sometimes I wish that we could just open our eyes and be able to see it. But then again, I don't, because then we'd all be just hiding under our covers because we'd be so scared of what we see. But the thing is, how you act every day, the way that you decide to live every day, you are participating in the spiritual warfare. But which side are you fighting on? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Thank God, because I'm scared of weapons. I don't like them. I mean, I support other people having them, and I would love to, you know, anyways, I'm not going to get into that. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Every thought. Let me ask you, how do you have time to take captive every thought when all you do is sit and watch YouTube, or you sit and watch TV, or you sit and play video games? How do we have time to take captive every thought if we're just constantly allowing something else to be the thing that filters our mind? Listen, I'm not against TV. Okay, I enjoy watching shows. I mainly love watching The Chosen, but you know, there are shows that I really like to watch. But the thing is, I can't sit there and watch them all day long. There's this term in our society, binge watch, right? It's like we can get all that we want to watch anytime that we want to, and we can watch it for however long we want to. And we'll call into work because we're in the middle of a great episode and we got to finish the series. The Chosen has a shirt that says Binge Jesus. I have it in the sweatshirt, the long sleeve shirt, and the short sleeve shirt. And if they come out with anything else, I'll probably get that too. But it's so true. Like, why don't we binge Jesus? All right, so our instruction is to love. Our fight is not physical. So number three, fight with the Spirit. Fight with the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit of truth, he leads you and guides you into all truth. Galatians 5. I wanted to read the entire book of Galatians this morning, but you can just go do that on your own. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, you can't do both. You can't walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit at the same time. Because these two, they don't coexist. This one actually casts that one out. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So basically everything that you see on the news when you turn it on. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I heard John Maxwell recently say that he hasn't heard many preachers or pastors speak on that, the end of that verse. Against such thing, there is no law. See, we focus on, okay, what's the right thing to do? No, why don't we just focus on the fruit of the Spirit? Is what I'm doing, is that love? Is it joy? Is it peace? Is it patience? Is that what it's producing? Or is it doing the opposite? See, Jesus, when he came, he fulfilled the law, right? And he actually says in Matthew, whenever he's approached by one of the Pharisees or a tax collector or somebody that was trying to catch him in his words, what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says something crazy. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. All of it. Has anybody read through the whole Bible this year yet? Probably not. Okay, I'm still in Genesis. I'm going to catch up, though. But all of it, it hangs on that. If we would just focus not on is this right or is this wrong and get into arguments with other people on what is right and what is wrong, just love. What do you do for somebody when you love them? You make time for them, right? But how much time do we make for God? We just try to fit him into our busy schedule, right? We're too busy not to have God in our lives. You know, it might look overwhelming. It's like, well, I can't do all of that. I can't have all the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, pick one. Pick one. Just focus on that. And then let the others come. Because they're all tied together. So chances are, if you get one down, you're going to have all the others as well. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And guess what? The Spirit lives inside you because he leads and guides you into all truth. You know, something I started doing recently is asking the Lord at the end of every day or at the beginning or whenever I can remember, God, search my heart. Search my heart. Is there anything in here that's not good? Is there anything that I'm holding on to, maybe that somebody said to me or they looked at me the wrong way? Am I holding on to that? Show it to me and let me get rid of it. It's like taking a shower, bathing, right? We all appreciate when other people do that. But that's like, it's like taking a spiritual shower. It's like, okay, God, wash me of anything in today, because we all know that if you live in the world and you go outside and or you have any outside influence, that you are going to have an opportunity to be offended with somebody, right? So it's so important every single day that you allow God to remove that offense out of your heart. Otherwise, it grows a bitter root, and then in 10 years, you'll find yourself angry and alone. Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So, if you can't get it all right, again, just get a little bit of it right and let that keep working in your life. If you can't devote a whole hour to God, devote 5 minutes to him. Now, I promise if you do that, you won't be satisfied with the 5 minutes for long. Now, I'm going to tell a story. I barely have time to do it. I have been looking for this movie for a really long time that I'm about to show you a clip out of, and it's not The Chosen. And it's been like 5 years. I haven't been able to find it. Well, oddly enough, I got sick with what some might say was COVID. And I was laid up in bed for a long time, and guess what? I turned on the TV, and what was streaming is the movie I've been looking for 5 years. And it also happened to be on the day that Pastor Corey texted me and said, hey, you're going to preach on February 27th, and then he switched it to today. But anyways, but it happened to be on that exact day that I found this movie. And so I was like, yep, I know what I'm talking about. So we're going to watch this clip, and then we're going to wrap it up.
They're just bad dreams, Jamie.
And we'll protect you, mate.
Oh, you'll protect them. But who will protect you?
I will. I will.
I will.
I will. and me. I'll try.
Still think there's no such thing as the boogeyman?
I do believe in you. I'm just not afraid of you. Yeah, good berry.
Whoa. Aha!
Oh, yeah!
No!
Get them!
Do your job!
Oh, yeah, come on, come on.
Oh, crikey. Here's the money.
G'day, mate.
Wrong roof.
Look at that. I got it. I know what we have to do. Guys, come on.
It's over, Pitch. There's no place to hide.
Jack, look out!
All right, that is called The Rise of the Guardians. I suggest that you watch it and you think of it as a spiritual thing, not just watching it as Santa Claus, because, well, or their kid, but yeah. I've made that mistake too many times. Anyways, here's the deal. The fruit of the spirit, right? We just talked about that. Love, joy, peace, patience. These are the guardians. But when unbelief rises, these guardians have no way to fight the battle. There's no vessel. Are we going to be vessels of heaven, or are we going to be vessels of hell? You see, in the movie, the reason that they didn't have strength at the beginning, that they had lost their strength, is because there was no belief in them anymore. There was only one kid left in the world that believed. But guess what? That one was enough. If there's just one, it's contagious. Faith is contagious. Love is contagious. Joy is contagious. So is fear, anxiety, depression. It's all contagious. We are the vessels of faith, of hope, and of love. We are the vessels of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law above these. Develop the relationship with Holy Spirit. Develop that in your life. Dig your roots down deep into Christ and let him flow out of you. You know, some of us are the little kid in the background that says, I'll try, right? But just try. You know, digging our roots down deep is super important. Anybody notice the wind this week? The crazy wind? Corrie ten Boom has a good quote. She says, the tree on the mountain takes whatever the weather brings. If it has any choice at all, it is putting down roots as deeply as possible. We don't have a choice of some of the things that are happening in our world. But what we do have a choice in is how far down are we going to put our roots in Christ. I'm going to skip the last paragraph of scripture that I have. So I'm going to ask you, can the people of God please stand up? Look around and smile at somebody. It's fine. You can make eye contact. It's not scary. What if all of us fight this battle together? What if we choose to love instead of fear? You know, the devil roars around. He goes around like a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. And we have to stop being gaslighted by the enemy. What does gaslighted mean? Manipulate someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity. It's loosely defined as making someone question their own reality. The term may also be used to describe a person who presents a false narrative to another group or person, which leads them to doubt their perceptions and become misled, disoriented, or distressed. If that's not what the body of Christ has looked like for the past 2 years, I don't know what is. Disoriented and distressed. We have allowed the enemy to come in and make us question how real our God is. And you know what was powerful in that clip? Is when Pitch, which is the boogeyman, okay? He came and he said, do you not believe in the boogeyman? And he said, I do believe in you, but I'm not afraid of you. Is COVID real? Is cancer real? Are there other issues and diseases and things that happen in life that are real? Yes. They are real. But we have to choose not to be afraid of them. And when we do that, the fight that's happening in the spiritual realm is unbelievable. We can't see it because it would kill us. See, the devil, he wants to make you think, okay, you know, God's not real. You know, you went to church and you were around all those other people that stood up. But he's not really real. He'll wait till you get all by yourself. And I know that there are people that have lost their life due to COVID. I know that there are people that have lost their life due to cancer. But here's the deal. This world is not the end game. It's not it. And that's where you lose hope, is when you start believing that. I want to tell you this. You are resilient. God made us incredibly resilient. But we're made to believe that we're fragile. Stop believing that you're fragile. You can do all things through Christ. Paul was in chains, in prison, and not the kind that we get here with Netflix. And he was still preaching the gospel. Did Jesus promise that we wouldn't have trouble in the world? No, he sure didn't. But he did promise that he would be with us, and he told us to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. Stop living for the now and start living from eternity. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you haven't, you should. Start living with the power that he's given you. Stop being weak. Wake up and tell fear, not today. Faith is rising, hope is rising, and love is rising. And you know what that means? That unbelief is fleeing, that despair is fleeing, and fear is fleeing, because perfect love casts out fear. It casts it out. I'm going to end with this scripture, John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Raise your hand if you want peace. I want peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Would you bow your heads? Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are bigger and better than any problems that we face in this world that we know of and the ones that are to come. Help us to remember that you are bigger. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help each of us to follow the leading of you, because you lead us and you guide us into all truth. Let us not be deceived. Let us not live in fear. Let us focus on you, and may what spills out of us when people bump into us be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. God, we know that this world needs kindness. Lord, may we be the vessels that you can move through, that you can love through, and help us to know and to keep in the forefront of our minds that it's not about us. It's just about you. We wait on you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you've given us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.